Look what it says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. All right, so we've been talking about the reality of redemption, and we've been talking about redeemed from poverty. Redeemed from poverty. Now, what we said is that there is a curse that came in the earth, and it came in the earth because of mankind, as a result of Adam's sin, the broken law of God. God told him not to eat of the tree. Adam ate of it, and because of that, our curse came into this earth, and sin passed upon all men. Now, Jesus came, who the Bible calls the last Adam, and he came to redeem us. And when we're talking about redeem, we're talking about being bought back, being returned. Return to our former state, return to where Adam fell from. And Jesus redeemed us by his blood. We found that out in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. And Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He didn't come to condemn us, but because we were condemned already, John chapter 3 and 17. But he gave his life, the Bible says, as a ransom for many. So Jesus himself gave his life so that you and I could come and be saved. We could come back to God, come back to that place where Adam had occupied before he committed this act of treason. Now, as we look at this, Satan's strategy now is to keep us ignorant, keep us in unbelief, keep us religious, keep us sin conscious. And this word sin conscious has to do with this condemned state that Adam fell to. You remember, once he fell or sinned in the garden, God came looking for him, and he went and hid himself from God. And that's what happens when sin consciousness is operating. People cannot receive from God as they should. And this sin consciousness kept us in bondage and in fear and in an inferiority complex. In other words, instead of feeling like we ruled over everything, now it seems like things were ruling over us, such as the weed, dope. It ruled over man, you know, weed and things like that. So I'm just saying, now what we're doing is God is coming now and he's restoring righteousness. One of the reasons why Jesus came is that he came to restore us into our former state. And so Satan wants to keep us ignorant, keep us religious, keep us paying. When I say paying, mean that the price has been paid, but he wants us to pay again. He wants to keep us suffering and suffering and saying, I'm suffering for the Lord. And you're not suffering for the Lord. The devil's trying to kill you. And what we're trying to do is show you the difference so you'll wake up. He wants to keep us working in his system and having no benefits for it. And so now what God promised us is he promised us some things. And what we want to do is get in on that. God's promises are not based on our being perfect. Because if that were true, none of us would survive. But it's based on us believing what he said. And so now, as we look at this, real faith comes in when righteousness returns. And so the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3 that if our hearts condemn us, we have no confidence toward God. In other words, if there's condemnation in the heart, your faith won't work. Well, I want you to look at the verse 14. He says this, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. How? Through faith. So for you to get the promise of the Spirit, you're going to have some faith. Well, let's just see what that promise is. Let's go over here to Romans, if you will. Romans chapter 4. Let me know when you get there. All right, Romans chapter 4, here's what it says in verse 13. If you have it, say praise the Lord. Verse 13, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Now, I want you to see that. What is the promise? The promise is that Abraham was going to be the heir of the world. Now, let me show you, let me read that out of another translation so that you can have another degree of clarity. In the Living Bible, it says this, it is clear then that God promised
to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants was not because Abraham obeyed God's laws, but because he trusted God to keep his promise. That's powerful. That's powerful. I mean, this is what he's saying here. Here's a promise that Abraham is going to be inherit the world. Now look what it says I'm going to read that out of the Amplified translation. For the promise to Abraham or his posterity that he should inherit the world did not come through the observing the commands of the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Now I want you to see this, because here God is promising Abraham that he will inherit the whole earth. He promised to give him the whole world. But that promise wasn't to Abraham only. Come on back over to Galatians again, Galatians chapter 3. I want to drive this home so you'll get happy. I want you to leave this place knowing what you got coming. And then you're going to see why the enemy tries to keep you feeling condemned. Why he tries to remind you of everything you did wrong. He doesn't remind you what you did right. He reminds you only what you did wrong, because he wants to condemn you. So your faith won't work, because he knows it's through faith that you got to receive the world. Look what it says here. He says, verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So the curse came in the earth. The curse is in the earth right now, but you've been redeemed from it. Say amen to that. All right. Being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Talk about Jesus on the cross. That the blessing, or you can put so that, the blessing of who? Abraham. Now don't put an S on blessing, because that's not what's on blessing. It's one blessing. Out of that one blessing, do you get blessings? That one blessing is an anointing. And it's through that anointing that you can get the blessings. Glory to God. Might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. It said might. Didn't say it will. Said might. But if you're not obedient, no walk in faith, it won't come. Got it? So there's something we have to do, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. How? Through faith. Now, how are we going to receive the promise? Through faith. How does faith come? And hearing what? The Word of God. If you haven't heard the Word of God concerning God going to give you the whole world, then faith is not there. And if faith is not there, you can't receive it. Say amen to that. Even though it's the will of God. Say it's the will of God. So now let's look at this. And what keeps us now separated from the blessing? Even though we have the blessing on our lives, what keeps it from manifesting in our lives? Let's turn to Romans chapter 12, please. Romans chapter 12. Amen. Look what it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, notice what he says here in verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. That means fashioned or pressured into the world's mold or the world's way of doing something. Don't you be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Every one of them got a form. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, we've got to renew our mind because the enemy has come in with deception. He couldn't stop you from being saved, but now he's trying to stop you from the reality of your redemption. He's trying to keep you from realizing in your life what God has done for you. Turn to Revelation chapter 12. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on now.
Praise God.
Revelation chapter 12. Look at verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out. That old serpent called who? The devil. And who? Satan, which deceiveth how much of the world? The whole world. So how much of the world has Satan deceived? The whole world. How much of the world has Satan deceived? The whole world. Now, you're answering it right. I'm just trying to get it in your mind. Because if you was in the world, come on, you were deceived. That's all I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get you to believe the word of God. All right, now let's go to Ephesians, please, in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 2. Glory to Jesus. Now, in Ephesians chapter 2, look what it says here in verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation. That conversation there means manner of life or manner of living in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were not by nature the children of what? Wrath, even as others, but God. Now, hold it now. He's saying we all walked in the past according to the what? Course or fashion of this what? World. He said, according to the prince of the power, come on, of the air. Satan has demons all in the air. And what they're doing is they're orchestrating people to live under the rulership of their leader, Satan, and to obey his command. When they don't want to obey, he puts pressure on them so that they have to give in to what he wants them to do. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, all of this is going on around us. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, please. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6, and look what it says here in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong where? In the Lord, come on, and in the power, come on, of his might, not your might. Because the trick of the enemy is to try to get you over into your own ability, and if he ever does, he's got you. Because your ability is not enough to stop him. You got to be strong, come on, in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the pressures, the deceitfulness of the devil. For we wrestle, come on, not against people. Those people, them people, racism, all them people are not your problem. That is not your problem. You're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against, come on, principalities, powers, come on, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what you're wrestling against. Why? Because Satan is working to try to keep the ungodly with your money. Boy, it's going to come across pretty soon. Now, for you to get in there, you're going to have the truth. Because only the truth is going to make you, come on, free. Turn to 2 Timothy, please, chapter 2. 2 Timothy, chapter 2. I'm going to work this thing. 2 Timothy, chapter 2. The devil is through. I said the devil is through. And do you know what? He has got no power. He has got no power. He, for the believer, he has been stripped. I said stripped. He has got no power. The power that he has is only the power you give him. He doesn't even have power to hold you back from being a millionaire. He doesn't even have power to take you out of this earth. I'm preaching better than you saying amen now. Now, see, you got to get that in your mind. You got to renew your thinking. You got to renew. Renew means more than change a conscious mind, because the conscious mind is just figuring out things right now and so forth and so on. But the subconscious mind is where 95% of your activity is coming from. The subconscious mind. And you can't get there easily. You got to get that through meditation, through a spiritual experience. You got to change that. See, are you following what I'm saying? That's why they run the commercials over and over again. Why? Because one way to change the subconscious is through repetition. Same commercial, have a Coke, 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 have a Coke. And then you go to the grocery store and you end up over there with the Coke. Because that the world programmed you. Come on now. Renewing mind means more your conscious mind, it means your subconscious. You're going to put something else in it, because the enemy showed us all those movies with Satan having all his strength and some monster coming, and the monster always got more power than the people and so forth and so on. That is not true. God says whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. So you ought to be able to step back if a monster come on you and say, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. You look at are not showing you that. They're trying to indoctrinate you. They're trying to reinforce an image that Satan has power. He don't have no power over the believer. He is under your feet. Come on, step on him a little bit. Step on him. See, that's what you got to do. You got to remind yourself. Don't you be going out of here saying, ooh, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Say it again. See, because that's him trying to keep himself in your life. Look at verse 15 of chapter 2 of 2 Timothy. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman. Are you a workman? Yes. That need not be what? Ashamed. How? By rightly dividing the word of truth. The truth can be wrongly divided. The word of truth. I'm talking about God's word. And what they've done is they've taken it and wrongly divided it. Come on back to Job real quick. Job chapter 1. Job, that ain't Job. Job, back chapter 1. Praise God. I know you need one. We'll pray for you on that later though. Let me know when you get there. Now here's Job, and they always talk about what Job lost, but they don't talk about what Job got. See, because the enemy is trying to use people coming into church to wrongly divide the word for you and to keep you in bondage. Folks, if I've been on the road to Mississippi and I've been going for 40 years and ain't got there, something is wrong with the road. I'm on the wrong road or something is up. Say amen. If you've been sitting in the church and you still broke, something wrong with the road. If you've been sitting in and so forth and still sick, still hurting, still married, still in trouble, still having problems and so forth and so on, you're on the wrong road. You don't have the truth. The truth is not making you free, because you ain't got a hold of, you got a hold of something, but you don't have a hold of the truth. Well, you come in the living word and you're going to get the living word. You're going to get what God said about it, and I don't care. Verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz, his name was Job. And this man was a perfect and upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil. That means that he stayed away from everything that was, you know, that was not good. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, or donkeys, female donkeys, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men in the East. He was connected back to Adam's prosperity, the way Adam did things. And so here God blessing him, and God blessing him real good. Now, all of a sudden, something happens. Verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God, came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "What are you coming for? Why are you here?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, and perfect and upright, and one that feared God and escheweth evil?" And Satan answered and said, "Does Job fear you for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge about him, and about his house, about all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But you put forth your hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power only upon himself. Put not forth thy hand." So Satan went forth in the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when the sons of daughters were eating and drinking in their elder brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, "The oxen were plowing, the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and took away, them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, "The fire of God has fallen from heaven and burned up your sheep and your servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking and wine in thy elder brother's house. Behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped to tell thee." And Job rose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground and worshiped, and said, "Naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked I shall return thither. For the Lord gave, now the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And all this Job sinned not, a charge God foolishly. I'm here to tell you right now that there is a permissive will and a causative will of God. We discussed this. We discussed the fact that God will permit some things. What will he permit? He'll permit what you permit. Look at Adam. He told Adam, "Don't eat of the tree." Didn't he tell him that? Did he permit him to eat of it? He sure did. And God will permit what you'll permit. Now I'm saying God will allow what you'll allow. It wasn't God that was trying to test Job. It wasn't God that was trying to see what was in Job's heart. God knew what was in Job's heart. God knew what Job was about to go through. Now Satan had an entrance in his life. And Satan took that entrance that he had in Job's life. And when Satan took that entrance, he began then to put Job through these trials. Now, I want to show you something, because it's key that you know this. Let's turn real quick, put something right there, and turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. Let me know when you get there. Have you got there? All right, read this. I'm going to read this and follow along with me. I'm going to start reading from verse 10. "Thy kingdom come." Now, if I read it wrong, you shout me down. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us into temptation." That's it right there. Y'all caught it, didn't you? God doesn't even want you to be tempted by Satan. This is what he said, pray. Pray that you not be tempted by the devil. God's got better things to do for you than you sit up all day to be tempted by the devil. Say amen to this. Turn to James chapter 1, please. The devil is a liar. He's deceived the whole world, but he won't deceive you because you're rightly dividing the word of truth. Look what it says in James chapter 1. Let me know when you get there. Praise God. Look at verse 13. "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither he tempt any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his what? Own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it brings forth what? It brings forth death." Now let's go, while we're there, let's go over Now God doesn't tempt you. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 12. Next book over. Next book to your left. Now. South. Hebrews chapter 12. Let me know when you get there. Verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto who? Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Come on down to verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the what? Chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, what does he do? Chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And people have taught that the chastening of the Lord is the Lord putting sickness on you. What kind of God would you serve that'll kill your children? God is love, folks. It says here, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. That chastening means discipline or correction. God doesn't correct you. He corrects you in the spirit. That's all I'm going to say about that. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. What am I doing now? I'm rooting out that unbelief. Because for you to receive the blessing of Abraham and manifest it to the world, you're going to have a sense of righteousness. You're going to have to know where you stand with Almighty God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, let me know when you get there by saying praise the Lord. Verse 13. There has no temptation taken you, but such as common to man, but God is what? Faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with what? The temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it or endure it. Now come on back over to Matthew's gospel, over to God, and Matthew chapter 4, let me know when you get there. Look at verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be what? Tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered, and the tempter came to him. What do they call Satan? The tempter. He is the one that tempts you. And 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13, it talks about being partakers of Christ's sufferings. That doesn't mean you suffer and he suffer. That means he suffered so you can go free. In James chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, it says this. Is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let him anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if been any sins, he'll be forgiven. So if you got sin in your life and you got sick because of that sin, guess what? God will not only heal you of the sickness, but heal the sin and forgive your sins. Say amen to that. Now, wait a minute. Don't you try to evaluate whether or not this is true. Because your little pea brain don't know whether it's true anyway, because you are not God. God is the one that set the rules up, and you cannot detect who Satan is except by the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God. And in the Word of God, you just can't read the Word of God. You got to have a revelation of what God is saying. Now, I'm just telling you now, because what you got to do is you got to get some fruit in your life. All right, now. Psalms chapter 34, verse 17 said, the righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Psalms chapter 34 and verse 19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Glory to God. All right. Now, why did I go through that? Because Jesus came to demonstrate the proof of God said, and to also bring the power of the kingdom of God to change and rearrange this earth and people's lives. He came also to restore the kingdom rule. Now, when I say restore, I mean re. Re is a powerful prefix. It means to do again or to go back to the original state. In Joel chapter 2, he says, I'll restore unto you the years that the cankerworm has eaten. Now, when he said restore, he's not talking about just your life. He means restore you all the way back to what Adam had when Adam was first created. Now, the promise is that you should inherit the world. So Adam had the world, Satan took the world, now God is putting the world back into the hands of his family. All right, now the truth is this. Lord have mercy. Just remember this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 21 says all things are yours. Romans chapter 8, it says they're freely given. And Proverbs chapter 13, 22 says the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. Psalms chapter 115, verse 16 says the heavens, even the heavens of the Lord, but the earth you've given to the children of men. So it belongs to me. Whatever belongs to God belongs to me. Whatever belongs to God belongs to me. Whatever belongs to Jesus belongs to me. I and my Father are one. You got what I'm saying? Now, he's put me here to be steward over this earth. Now, if you can't receive that, then it's hard for you to go into the promised land. Now, let's go to Genesis chapter 12, please. Woo! Lord have mercy. Genesis chapter 12. Man. Genesis chapter 12. Okay. All right. Genesis chapter 12. Let me know when you get there. Verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, get thee out of that country, from that kindred, from thy father's house, into a land that I'm going to show you. I'm going to make you a great nation. I'll bless you. Make your name great, and you'll be a blessing. I'll bless them that bless you, curse them that curse you, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So what is God doing? God is saying, okay, I'm going to make you an instrument of my divine favor. I'm going to flow through you to take care of the earth. And what I'm doing is I'm going to use you to prevent the misfortunes in people's lives. I'm going to use you to reverse the curse on people's lives. And I'm going to use you to bless the nations of the earth. Now, he said, first, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house. So notice he said, get thee out of there. Come on out of the system. Let's call it economic system. Come on out of the system that you're trusting in. In other words, you're trusting in your job. Come out of that system. You're trusting in somebody, some auntie, something always giving you some money on the first of the month. Come out of that system. You're trusting in Social Security. Come on out of that system, because it ain't going to be secure no more. You're trusting in the pension. Come on out of that system. Now, it's all right to get it, but don't trust in it. Come on out of that system. Into a land that I'm going to show you. In other words, I don't have a brochure yet, but I'm going to give you, you just follow me, because in God, you follow his commands. And when he talks about his commands, he's not talking about that necessarily, he said, follow my commandments. He's not talking about necessarily the Ten Commandments or the commandments in the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament. What he's talking about is he's talking about anything that he says, he wants you to do it. Say amen to that. Amen. All right. And then he said, I'm going to bless you. And make your name great, and I want you to be a blessing. So we went over that before. Look at verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Say, Lot went with him. So they went on. Look at verse 9. And Abram journeyed, going down still toward the south, and there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down to Egypt and sojourned there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Now notice why he didn't stop at Canaan. Why didn't he stop at Canaan? Somebody in your best voice. Come on, what did it say about it? Why did it stop? Because there was a famine there. Famine, drought, shortage, nothing. Nada. He said, I'm getting out of here. I'm not stopping here. But God directed him there. So God will direct you in places of famine. Yes. Say amen now. Yes. Why? Because you got the blessing on your life. Say, I got the blessing. And if you got the blessing on your life, he went on down there to Egypt, and he told him, as he said, Sarah, and I tell Pharaoh that you're my sister, not my wife, because you would tell him my wife, he might kill me. So he didn't trust God's protection covenant, but God was going to let him slide with that. So you don't do everything perfect, but God will still kind of bless you on the side. And anyway, say amen to that. And now he came on up out of there, so Pharaoh soon found it out and put him out of there. But look how he put him out of there. Look at verse 1 of chapter 13. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, silver, and gold. Say cattle, silver, and gold. So the blessing of Abraham will get you some cattle, some silver, and some gold. Now, here's the unique thing about this that's key. Now, people don't mind, they don't have a problem with being rich. What they have a problem with is God doing it. They don't have a problem with being rich. As long as they work three jobs, long hours, lost their family, their kids running wild, so they don't have a problem with that. what they have a problem with if they work normal hours, go home, be with their kids, love their wife, so forth and so on, and still get rich. Because you're not going to get rich because you did it. You're going to get rich because God did it. Say amen to that. If you look in the Bible of the blessing of Abraham, that God's blessing was on those people and his promotion and his prosperity came on those people, not because of their intellect, not because of their ability. All you got to do is look at the woman whose kids were about to be taken because she was in debt. And notice what the man of God said. He came to her. He said, what do you have in your house? She said, I don't have nothing in the house but a little oil. He said, that's good. He said, start pouring that. This is what you do, da, 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 da. And she closed the doors, got her kids, got all the vessels, started pouring supernaturally. It started to multiply. She didn't know nothing about oil. She didn't know nothing about commodities. She just started pouring. She just did what the man of God said. And then fill all the things up, and then she didn't even know what to do with it. Well, she wasn't no business lady. She said, well, what do I do with this, boy? He said, well, what you do now is go out, sell the oil, pay the debt, and you live, you and the kids on the rest. He said, kids, she said, kids, come on, boys, let's go. Let's go. And God had people out there set up all the way now and ready to buy that oil because that's the way God will set you up. Now, I'm here to tell you, she didn't know nothing about it, so God endowed her, and he gave her the practical ability to do it. I'm saying it's not your schooling that's going to get you over with the blessing of Abraham. It is the blessing that's going to get you over. Say amen to this. And not only that, how about Peter was fishing? Here he was fishing. He was a fisherman. The boy had a union card. His family was in the fishing business. Passed it on to him, but he didn't catch anything. And then here comes a preacher. The preacher preaching on the shoreline. But then here comes Peter. He said, let me use your boat, son. He said, okay, all right. He climbs in the boat. He said, now push out just a little from the shoreline. Pushed out. He sat down, talked to people, then turned to Peter, said, launch out into the deep and let down your net for a catch. Peter started giving him all the reasons why. Peter said, wait a minute now. We've been in the fishing business for 3 generations. We didn't have fishing boats. We know what the water's like. We know what the temperature is like. You can't fish in the daytime. You got to fish at night. Gee, he said, nevertheless, at the word, I'm going to get out. God is not prospering you because of what you know. He gonna prosper you according to what he knows. People don't have no problem with prosperity as long as they work for it. But this ain't that kind of deal. The blessing of Abraham is a grace. One more thing. I got this one inside. All right, look at chapter 13. You still there, aren't you? All right, look what it says here in verse 7. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelt in the lands. So there was strife. Now, what does the Bible say about strife? Where there is strife, there is confusion. Come on. And every evil work. Where there is strife, there is confusion. Where there is strife, the confusion. You can't hardly hear God. I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know what God wants me to get. I don't know, so forth. You know why? You got strife. Come on now. And what did Abraham tell him? Abraham said, separate from me. Hey, listen, you go. If you go to the right, I'll take the left. If you go to the left, I'll take the right. Why? Because the blessing is on me. And wherever I go and whatever I lay my hands to, it's going to prosper anyway. See, you got to believe that and obey God, and faith will bring it in. Say amen to that. The blessing of Abraham is on you right now, but it ain't activated when you just sitting down there talking about, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Did you hear that? Praise the Lord. Folks, you got to get up and do something. So Lot lifted up his eyes. He went on down there and chose the land that was well watered and looked real good. It turned out to be Sodom. So you got to let God tell you where to go. But look at verse 14. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot was separated from him, lift up now your eyes. What is this saying? As long as strife was there, he couldn't even hear God. Looked like God wasn't even talking. I know a man named Leroy Thompson. This is what he said. He said, when I try to do something cheap, I can't even hear God. But that's another story. I ain't gonna preach that. But my point is. No, no. There is no strife. Ask my wife. There is no strife in our house. Because you can't hear God. You see, you got to hear God because he ain't giving you no roadmap. He's not giving you no brochure. You're going to have to do what he says on a daily basis. You're going to have to hear God get up in the morning and say, what to do this time, Lord? He's going to say, go down to the place and I told a man to give you a brand new car. He's going to say, folks, one man said the reason why you got a job, it's because God is training you how to get up in the morning. But job came from a Babylonian model. Work came from God. That's all I got. Praise God. We'll talk about that. Thank you.